May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, who is our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving. What a wonderful time of the year as we see the colors change to the yellows and the reds and the oranges, as we see the bounty of fruit and vegetables displayed before us, and not so wonderful as we think about the cold weather coming. But it's Thanksgiving, and it's such an appropriate gospel for today as we think about Thanksgiving and being grateful and all of that means to God, to Jesus, and in our own lives. But I want to say that although this is an appropriate gospel for today, I think we maybe need to unpack it a little more to understand what it might mean to us today as Christians celebrating Thanksgiving and what it may be asking us to do. So we're going to have a little bit of what I call an exegesis, which is a big fancy word to say we're going to learn a little bit more about what's happening in the history and in the social setting of this particular passage. First of all, we hear that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he's going between Samaria and Galilee. So we know that Jesus is likely going to meet some Samaritans on his pathway, but he knows that as a Jewish man, that he shouldn't be interacting with them because he might be considered unclean. But lo and behold, not only does he meet a Samaritan, he meets a whole group of lepers on his way. A group of 10 lepers. And do you remember what leprosy is like? Do you remember about the deformities that happen? Do you remember about the ostracizing that happens, the isolation that happens because of the fear of the disease and spreading the disease? Well, it's no different in this time. And in fact, that's where a lot of it came from. In this particular time, this group of 10 were far off from Jesus, but call to him and say to him, you know, they want help. Jesus, help us. Jesus, heal us. And the chances are that they were a good 50 feet away, because if they were anywhere closer, they were considered as possibly causing the leprosy to spread. So they were probably a good 50 feet away from Jesus. So they would have had to yell. The other thing is that this group of 10 was probably made up of both Jews and Samaritans, who usually didn't interact with one another because Jews were fearful of being made unclean. But what happened is their common hardship, their common illness, had brought these unlikely people who would have been enemies before together. And we've seen that in our own lives. We've seen that. Have you remember the flooding in when there was Hurricane Katrina? And they were finding animals, and they were putting the animals in back of people's cars or in the back of police cars or wherever. And sometimes there'd be a cat in there, and sometimes there'd be three dogs. And they were just so terrified of everything that had happened that they all snuggled in together. These natural enemies of one another during a hurricane, and because of what they had gone through, because they had empathy for one another of what they had gone through, were able to just form some type of cohesive group, which is what has happened with these lepers. Because of their illness, because of their deformity, because of their isolation, they have joined together. And as they've joined together, they've reached out after hearing about Jesus to say, help us. Do what you can to take this illness away. And Jesus, in his love and in his compassion for all people, said, go and see the priests. You're being healed. And that's what they do. They head off. 10 of them head off. Yet one of them stops and turns around, realizing he has been healed. Not only does he kneel before Jesus, he doesn't just kneel, which is a humble act, and to show just how much humility you have before somebody, he lays down. He prostrates himself on the ground and gives thanks to Jesus for the healing and to say, I know this came from God. I know this came from you. I know that I'm healed because of your love and your compassion for me. And Jesus says to him, where are the other nine? Where did they go? And he says to this Samaritan, a Samaritan who should not have had an interaction with a Jew, go, your faith has made you well. But he's still wondering where the other nine went. Because the other nine had had the exact same healing. But they didn't stop to say thank you. They didn't turn around. They didn't show humility. They just went and did what they needed to do to be healed. And maybe they went to see the priest because that's where he told them to go. But they didn't stop to say thank you. How many times in our lives do we call on God? How many times in our own lives, when we're going through a difficult time, do we call on God? Whether that's because we have someone in our life who is extremely ill and we want them to be healed. Whether that's because we have someone in our own life who is going through a difficult time emotionally and we want God to love them and support them and to give them strength. Whether that's because someone in our life is going through a crisis of faith and we want God to be there and we ask God to love them and support them and we ask God to give us the words to be able to support them as they walk those difficult journeys. How many times in our own lives, in our prayers, do we call on God for help? Probably, I don't know about you, I can only answer for myself every day. Every day and sometimes many times a day. But the question I think this is asking us, how many times are we like the Samaritan and do we take the time to say thank you? We're saying thank you for lots of things today, for harvest, for love, for family, for home, knowing that all comes through God. But how many times do we take the time, like the Samaritan, when we've had a prayer answered, to turn around and go back and knowing that our prayer was answered because of God, to say thank you? So as we go home today, as we go to be with our families, our friends, as we go to have meals, as we go to explore outside, as we go to enjoy the harvest, I ask that we take time to be thankful for all of those things. But I also ask, as we reflect on this passage, to take time to reflect on how many times have I asked God for help where I haven't said thank you when a prayer has been answered, and what am I being called to do? Amen.